show. That coffee over there stinks.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't switch it out this morning. I think.
Oh, so you just heated up old? That's from yesterday.
Yeah,
you just reheated
it
up.
Yet. Should I turn on the?
Did you make a pot yesterday?
Last night, yeah. Before I left.
You put a pot on as you left the school.
Uh huh.
Why?
Just so we had it in the morning. I won't do it anymore.
You can make it in the morning.
I won't do it anymore. All right. Well, I think we're rolling.
We're
rolling.
Yeah, the red light is on.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. It's April 15th, and welcome to the first episode of the Teacher's Lounge, the first, best, and only podcast tackling issues relevant to the greater Hamilton High School community. You know, for years, Teacher's Lounge has been a place where conversations happen behind a closed door. Mm-hmm. Students don't get a chance to hear it. We thought, hey, why not bring those conversations out to everybody so everybody got there?
Open that door.
Open the door. Blow the hinges off. That's what I said. Good sound effects.
Great sound effects.
Very good.
We're rolling.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, Todd.
Sorry, I thought someone was coming in through the door.
No. Oh, you know, of course, my name is Howard Levis. I'm your tenured biology teacher and science department chairman. And I'm joined
Are you tenured?
I am tenured, yes.
You were injured in your tenureship.
Yeah.
Is that true?
In the final interview to sort of grant or deny my tenure.
You fell.
I fell down. And they said, well, Howard, you're tenured.
That's a funny joke. That's funny.
I think honestly our Board of Education is very funny.
I thought it was just a mistake you made talking.
No, it turns out it was true. Our Board of Education is very funny. Anyway, as I said, I'm Howard Levis, and I'm here
with our Board of Education is hilarious.
They are.
Sometimes I'll go to those meetings and just laugh. I won't even contribute unless I'm heckling.
Okay, Todd. Todd, you got to quit that, buddy.
I wouldn't even really call you heckling, contributing.
Yeah, Todd, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
How you doing? Todd Padre, theater. I teach all of the theater, voice, and movement classes, and as well as directing, and for the first year ever, writing the school play.
You have great enunciation, can I say.
Thank you very much. I'm self-trained.
That's good. Sam, why don't you, since you chimed in, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself too?
Sam Weatherman, you all know me. I teach driver's ed here, also a little student government. Want to make sure we're developing the leaders' minds of tomorrow today.
Now, when you say a little bit of student government,
yeah,
are you in control of that class or do you just pop in?
I'm more of an advisor. I'm not the teacher of the class. That is Mr. Thompson.
Yes.
But I'm allowed to pop in and just sort of give my opinion when wanted.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but he has asked you not to show up.
Correct. It's rarely wanted, but I am allowed to pop in.
Okay, that's fine. We have an open door policy at the school usually. We all let each other teach our classes every now and then.
Yeah. I roll in and teach some movement every now and then, show people how to move around, and Mr. Padre's theater class.
Well, that makes sense for you, though, Bill, because you, of course, why don't you go ahead and introduce
yourself. Well, yeah, hi, my name's Bill Cravey. I am the basketball coach here, and we are currently having a bad season. We are 1-5. Mm-hmm. And
in conference. Out of conference, it's much worse.
Out of conference, it's much worse. We haven't won a game in a while, so that one game was good. A lot of people are saying that I sprang a gas leak in the competitors.
A lot of people. You are one of those people because you've admitted it.
Well, that is true.
You say sprang a leak. Everyone else says that you sabotaged. I mean, you can't spring a leak on someone.
That is true. I sabotaged the other team and I let a gas leak go in the competitors. It's not the dressing room, but it is the locker room.
Right, because we do have two. We have separate rooms.
Well, Mr. Padre has a dressing room. Yes,
that's correct.
For the theater, and I have a locker room.
That's right. And yes. In theater, we don't practice. We rehearse.
Yes.
Which I, as you all know, I do a whole quarter on the terminology of theater rehearsing, mm-hmm. And kind of how one would talk about that so as to sound like a professional. Mm-hmm. We don't wear clothes. We wear costumes. Mm. We don't say
any other
words.
Specifics from the theater department you'd like to inform our listeners about?
We don't say words.
Okay.
We say dialogue.
Okay.
We don't take pauses. We take beats.
Beats.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
That is very good.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the voices you're going to be hearing for the next few weeks while we get this podcast off the ground. And of course, this is like I said, the first episode of this podcast. We're coming to you from a brand new state of the art facility here at Hamilton High School. It's for I like to call it the Hamilton High School AV Media Laboratory, which I was able to build with a mess load of grant money that I got a couple months ago. We're really excited to
is
sort of.
Is there a reason you won't accept that it is called the Philip Harrison Memorial?
Feels too specific. We shouldn't give one man credit for a room like this, especially when he's so just like such an old historical figure. He has nothing to do. The kids don't care about that guy.
Well, the school exists because of him. I mean, he was the first principal. He built the school
with his bare hands. I know that. But that doesn't
make him. There's a lot of shoddy construction around here.
Yeah,
too.
And we've all built stuff before. Okay, does that mean I built my own kitchen? I built my kitchen out on my own. Do I call it the Howard Levis kitchen of vast culinary feats? No, I don't. I don't call it that. I call it my kitchen.
All right. Well, I guess this is an agree to disagree situation. I'll say that. I myself will respect Mr. Harrison and refer to this only as the Philip Harrison Memorial AV Room.
Okay, fine. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
I see you brought
this
a little.
This is just a little bit of that teacher's lounge barbs you're going to be getting.
A lot of arguments go on in here. I've had screaming matches with every teacher in this teacher's lounge. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we all have. It's a heated profession. You know, you give yourself to all these kids, and whether they respect you or not, you have to put up with whatever they give back to you. So sometimes you get a little heated, and we all know that. And that's why this podcast exists. It's a chance for us to vent, right? Mm-hmm. It's a chance for us to take those issues that we kind of bottle up all day long.
And which I have, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there is a new couch over there, and that is a pull-out couch now. I brought that in. So we do have a pull-out couch now, which I've wanted for a while.
Yeah, I took a little nap on it before I left last night.
You did?
Yeah.
And will teachers be allowed to spend the night on that couch?
That's what I was hoping.
Thank God.
Are you,
Todd?
What's your home situation right now?
Well, my home situation is non-existent. As you may or may not know, over spring break, Leslie and I continued to be divorced. But
that's still happening, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, she officially made me leave the house. And so that is... Excuse me. And that is pretty heavily.
You were just camping outside of the house hoping to get back in, right?
That's right. I was doing, I was calling it doing a hung, inspired by the
Thomas Jane show.
Short-lived Thomas Jane show hung.
You loved that show.
That's crazy. Oh, baby, I did. You kidding me? A teacher divorcing his wife and then having sex with all the women in town. Holy crap.
Oh, we're getting a little blue here. We're getting a little PG-13.
What would you say is the big difference and the big similarity between you and that character?
Well, I'd say it's partially personality and it's partially physical. And I knew coming into it that I couldn't call myself, you know, and students cover years on this one, a hung man. Because as you all know, I am average size, which is fine, unless you want to be a gigolo for the lonely women of town. You need to sell yourself as something.
Right.
So that was my thing. I think another difference is acting style between me and him. I come more from, a self-taught school of acting.
Yeah, you're pretty broad.
Yeah.
I'd say your acting style is...
It's very two audience. It's very presentational.
Right.
Thank you.
Definitely
thank you
doesn't work on film. We'll say that.
Oh, that's... So far. And a lot of filmic geniuses were appreciated after their time.
Sure.
You all saw my version, my filmed version, Birth of a Nation.
No.
I sure didn't.
You didn't see that?
No, sir. We won't watch it.
It's not like the first one. It's not like the first one. All right. And now they got a new – you hear this? They got a new one coming out.
Yes.
They ripped off my idea. So long story short, I do need somewhere to live. I spent most of spring break at the YWCA sleeping on the cots in there.
The Young Women's?
That's the W?
I believe that's the W.
You mean to tell me you slept there and you didn't at any point notice that everybody around you was a woman? A young woman, mind you?
You know – I did notice that they were all young women, and they were worshiping a Christian God, and they were kind of associated with each other.
Uh-huh.
You know what? It sounds like you've been going through a tough time. If you need anything, you can just, you know, let us know.
Buddies.
We got you.
We're your buddies. We'll help you.
Absolutely.
That's funny. We got into spring break there for a second. Sam, what'd you do over spring break, bud?
Oh, you know, not too much. I tried to get out of town, you know. I wanted to take a little bit of a vacation.
You tried to.
I tried to. That was the plan was to get out of town, take a little vacation.
You were all packed up and everything, right?
I was packed up, ready to go, and then forgot, you know, I can't drive a car.
Did you attempt to get out of the driveway?
I beg your pardon?
Did you attempt to get out of the driveway? Did you try to drive or
no,
you stopped
this,
yourself?
This happens to me all the time. So as you guys know, my license has been suspended for gross vehicular negligence multiple times. And It's where you cannot control your vehicle, right, and you are responsible 100% for all the damage.
The cop also added the caveat, too, that it was gross in that definition, but also gross in, like, a disgusting definition.
Right. It was vehicular negligence that was disgusting.
You've been pulled over for trying to drive from the back seat.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like to push the front chair all the way up, and, you know, it's
the driver's seat you're talking about.
Yeah, the driver's seat all the way up.
Not the front chair. We'll let him call it the front chair.
The front seat. What it is, you know, I have a tough time with intimacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah, we know.
Not so me. I like to get a little something between me and the wheel. So I was kind of using that chair as, you know, a body. And,
right.
And I sort of can hug the chair and the wheel at the same time. And it makes me feel like I'm connected. It's a very unsafe way to drive.
Right.
So, anyway, I didn't vacation this week.
At what point in the drive did you realize, again, that you did not have a license and couldn't drive?
Opening the door. I got outside with my suitcase, and then I realized, you know, I was supposed to sell this thing a while ago. I'm not allowed inside of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only car I am actually licensed to drive is the instructional vehicle that the school does provide. I'm allowed to sit in the front right seat that also has a brake. But I cannot control gas.
Sometimes
or
called
wheel.
The passenger seat as well.
Yes. Now, as a parent, if I'm listening to this, I'm wondering how come you can teach my son or daughter to drive if you have been cited and arrested for gross vehicular negligence on multiple accounts?
Yes. Well, you know how they say those who can't do teach? I can't drive. But I can teach it. I know how to drive upstairs up here in the old noggin. I know exactly what to do. So I
something about when you get in the car, you lose it.
Exactly. For me, it's emotional. I can't emotionally handle driving.
Right.
That's interesting. You think, I mean, it's probably psychological some kind of way. You probably got some sort of emotional issues or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
Like
when I see red, I want to go. I'm like a bull. When I see that red light come on, I just, you know. It's just hard. Can we move on?
I'm sorry. Sam, we didn't mean to tear it up like that, but sorry. What about you, Bill? What'd you do over spring break?
Well, me and my wife, we went down to New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I was dying to do some boogie boarding, and as you know, they got the best waves, 60 foot in from the beach. Perfect boogie boarding waves.
Yeah. How tall are the waves? It sounded for a second like you were going to say they had 60 foot waves.
No, they're just knee slappers.
They're knee slappers, exactly, yeah. Sam. They're, you know, a lot of beaches you got to paddle out to get to the waves.
Yeah. Right.
This beach has a very steep incline, so those waves, when they come in hard, and it is perfect for boogie boarding. They throw out that little thin film that helps you slide up on the beach, and then when the water goes away, you're just beached there on your boogie board, and that is perfect for my boogie board. So we went down there, as you can see, take a look at my chest here, I am... beat up.
Ooh, wow.
Beat up from the boogie board.
Good grief.
Like that red asphalt video they watch in the Hell Class.
The red asphalt. That's the one that they made with German prisoners.
I think so. The driver's ed video where everyone's head gets exploded and there's blood all over. Anyway, your chest looks bad.
Yeah, looks all scratched up.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what.
That's a movie.
This is what us boogie boarders called being raw. And you know you've had a good time when you're raw.
And you don't wear a rash guard or anything. Like most of the time, people with sensitive skin, they'll put on a rash guard.
You wear
like
a rash creator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people call it a sandy shirt, which I'm trying to get it licensed, or I'm trying to create or invent a rash creator. Because, you know, it just feels good. It feels like you know.
You think
really
there's a market for that out there?
I mean, if considering the boogie boarding community, and do they want rashes? Yes. Yes, I think there is. I mean, the competitive boogie board community is, you know, worldwide, 18 people. So, I mean, I know. Can I ask you a question? Yeah.
What is it about boogie boarding that's so exciting opposed to like surfing, something like that? Is it the rash that you get, or is it more about the style of moving in the water?
Well, it's really just being on your belly on a styrofoam board close to shore. You don't got to worry about a shark or anything. And it's just exhilarating when you come down and you are slapping on that water and your neck is like a rag doll and you're going, yeah, that ow!
That's fun.
Ow! That's fun.
You like that.
I love it. And I'm beat up. I'm beat up. I mean, you can see the bruises. You can obviously see the neck brace I'm wearing.
I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be rude and mention the neck brace.
Right. I should have maybe started with the neck brace.
Now, is that something I can sign? Can we get that going where we all sign?
Well,
the neck
brace? Look at the back. That's my daughter's signature right there.
Wow. She can barely write.
Yeah, it ended up. It did end up looking like a swastika on accident.
It did. It did. Well, and
I said, make what you want, baby, and as you see, I whited out a couple of the lines.
She's 15 now.
Yes.
So she's either illiterate or a bold racist, and you've decided to go with illiterate?
Well, that's what I'm pushing. She can't read or write. Yeah. She's not
My question is this. My question for you is this, Bill, really honestly. Not to gloss over your racist daughter or anything, but my question for you is this. You had your whole basketball team running drills all spring break long, and you weren't even there for one
day. Yep, I put them on a timer, and I said, you guys are going to run suicides until I'm back from New Smyrna. And, you know, probably a lot of them left because they knew I was gone. Mm-hmm. Over half of them were still there running when I got back. And I'm tough on my team, you know. I mean,
I know. Some people say you're so tough on them it makes it hard for them to play well because they're scared of you or they don't necessarily give their all because they're afraid of the repercussions.
Take, for example, in the last game, when I pulled Luke's pants to the floor, underwear and all, and I spanked him.
Uh-huh. Let's take that as an example of your behavior.
Was that too much?
Yes.
No.
That's what I think.
You saw his behavior. Here.
He would not. He thought we were in a zone defense. We had obviously changed to a man-to-man, and I just, you know.
I think word around school from a lot of the parents and sort of the boosters is that you don't really understand what the actual goal of the game is. You want them to be in really, really good shape and listen hard. But you're not really telling them much about how to shoot or, you know, when to pass, screen away, things like that.
Yeah, I am focusing on a lot of the wrong things in practice. We don't shoot.
Why is that? Because you're a basketball coach.
Well, I want to really focus on one thing at a time, okay?
Fundamentals.
We want to start with the fundamentals, and that's running, that's getting yourself in shape, that's moving from side to side, that's jumping. So I'm not going to allow balls on the court.
So you sort of run like a CrossFit.
Well, I mean,
In your five-year plan, when do they start shooting? Or maybe if I'm a freshman on your team and I want to go.
You will be a sophomore in college before I get the balls out.
Okay. I feel like that might not be the best method to create a winning program.
Listen, you just got to get the fundamentals.
How
and we're not
moving
on. How did
y'all win that one game, by the way? I missed it. I haven't seen any of your games this season.
Oh, well, the other team all went to the hospital because of the gas leak.
Oh, so they didn't
and
even play.
And it was called. No.
Interesting.
It was called at the half, after the half.
What was happening for the first half?
If I remember correctly, the other team had already gone to the hospital, and you were still down 42-28. You were scoring on the wrong baskets half the game.
Well, yeah, we did. The other team was sent to the hospital, and we did decide to play another quarter against no one. And my team did quickly score 13 points on the wrong goal, which was a fluke because I haven't even introduced balls to them. It was especially humiliating.
It's interesting that the state athletic department let that happen, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of going when hands someone's off, trying their like, hardest.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? You're clearly trying your hardest out there. You got a red face every game. And, if someone's trying
hard. Well,
that's
because I drink heavily before the games.
Well, red face is a red face, and I think people like that.
Mm-hmm. And not that anyone was asking, but I did want to let you guys know that I took my spring break to finally file that paperwork to run for mayor.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Right. Finally getting some things changed in the city.
Yeah, you know, you hope you can. You know, you go into these kind of things thinking that you're going to be the great savior of the county, but who knows? I'm going to do my best, though. It took a long time to do all that paperwork, though.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you're kind of alone on it, right? You're just filing and running for mayor by yourself?
Yeah. No support system. I have yet to find someone who will be a campaign manager. My family is opposed to the idea. And I've been searching for supporters around town. Everybody I've said, went to the grocery store, told the cashier I was running for mayor. And she said, I don't know why you told me that.
Really?
Yeah, nobody seems to care, you know, and I think I'm the right person for the job, you know. The incumbent mayor of this city has just ran it to the ground.
Well, we know you're a teacher. We know you're responsible in that field. What mm-hmm. would you say are a couple of your running platforms?
My running platforms? Well, first of all, no driving after 6:30 p.m.
Love it.
Yes. That just get those roads clear so we can all go for walks at night.
For walks at night, so yeah. You specifically want walks. It's not like a observe the Sabbath every day.
No. It's just to get those roads clear so I can go for walks at night.
Well, so you want to walk in the middle of the street?
Uh-huh. I don't want, you know, at night, once the sun goes down.
You want to just be able to kind of walk around blindly and not worry about a car?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, well, not every platform is going to be popular.
No, right. And that's a tough one. You know, people love to drive.
How many times have you been hit by a car?
Oh, God. You want to know how many times I've been hit by a car and the person has admitted it? Or, like, do I include hit and runs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I'd say probably 15.
Yeah.
15.
How many people have admitted it?
Huh? How many people have admitted? Yeah. Seven.
Seven.
That ain't that bad. That ain't that bad.
Seven people have like sort of stopped when they hit me.
You know, it's not really bad till you're hit by your own car.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Which you were.
I was. Yeah. I was in the drive-thru at McDonald's, mm-hmm. and I had gotten out because I dropped a couple pennies. Mm. And you know how a penny hits the floor and it rolls. You know, so I'm chasing this penny. And unfortunately, the path is right in front of my own car. I had forgotten to put it into neutral or park. So many choices. Just don't leave it in drive, right? Well, there you go. I left her in drive and boom, right over the old leg.
Wow.
Good grief.
God. Well, your leg still looks bad.
Thank you.
It's too bad you weren't up for tenure when that happened.
I wish. Yeah. I wish I could be tenured. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Now, we're in a city with the world's biggest Kia Soul manufacturing plant. How do you think that'll affect the constituents to have such an anti-driving policy?
I'm not anti-driving. Of course, the other side of my platform is that I believe more people should be driving before 6:30. I think we need to increase congestion on our streets to slow people down, you know, so that they don't hit people. Honestly, guys, most of my platform revolves around the fact that I have been hit by cars for all my life.
Yeah.
Over and over again, it seems. So most of my platform does, in fact, revolve around sort of making the roadways safer for me and for people like me who are sort of prone to auto collision.
Well, every politician starts by doing a bunch of things that are good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to broaden it out and hope that it affects more people.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. You know, and the impetus for getting in was selfish. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
It was selfish. But once I've sort of laid the groundwork for my personal platform, I'll start thinking about other people, start thinking about ways that I can better other people's lives in this town, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe finally open up a post office.
And maybe we could finally put out the supermarket that's always been on fire.
You know?
I don't know.
I would say that sounds like a good idea, Bill, but I'll tell you this. That is the single biggest tourist attraction in this city.
Yeah, and can I tell you this? Best meat department you're going to find. Best. I mean, you're not going to get tri-tip like that anywhere else. I mean, it is always going on.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's.
You all right?
Todd, you all right?
Are you taking a pregnant pause right now? Was that a pregnant beat?
That was
a beat.
That was a beat for drama.
Mm.
Very dramatic.
Before I was going to say, it's very good meat.
Wow.
Good,
I mean, that was amazing. We said almost the same thing, but yours hit so much harder.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's the power of.
Well, guys, I feel like we've been talking about ourselves a little bit. Let's move on to the podcast.
You know, we
right?
I had a segment planned for today that I would love to get y'all to weigh in on. This mm-hmm. is a segment I'm trying to call Teacher's Pet Peeves. Right? This is a segment we're going to kind of do periodically where we talk about those little things that just get on our nerves as teachers, right? Mm-hmm. For example, for me, it's when the kids start giggling when I start talking about the human anatomy, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Are you talking about lungs and stomachs?
No, Bill, of course. They don't laugh at that. They laugh when I say...
Lungs look pretty funny to me. And stomachs? And it's all piled up on... What are you talking about?
I think we all get it. I think it's pretty weird that you're missing what he's talking about.
What are we talking about? A gangly skeleton bopping around the room? That's hilarious.
Well, no, Bill. What I'm talking about penises and vaginas. You know, that section of the curriculum where you got to start talking about stuff like
that's
that.
That's not funny.
That's what I think. I don't think it's funny either, you know? So it bothers me when these kids can't stop giggling. You know, it adds 15, 20 minutes to my lesson plans when I got the ship in order, you know what I mean? So it gets pretty frustrating. Y'all got anything else that y'all...
How much giggle time would you say you're losing in every class? You're saying about 20 minutes of every 50-minute class you're
I'd
losing
say on
giggles?
A good day, I'm losing 15. On a bad day, 20, 25.
Wow.
Of a 45-minute period.
Well, yeah. Is it because you draw little faces on the genitalia and stuff to make it less scary?
I can't tell you why.
Little character names and you have them... play out little scenes as Mr. Penis and Miss Vagina.
That is a truth of what happens in my class, but I can't tell you if that's the reason they're giggling or not. They don't say, I'm laughing because this is the way you choose to teach this.
I think that's relatable. I think that's a great way to teach
it. I do too. It makes it less, it makes it less foreign. It's like, oh, that thing's got a face. I can relate.
Yeah. I mean, I think relating to kids is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. one of my pet peeves, to be honest. When I try to break it down and really get close with a kid, and they say, ew, back off. Ew, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Ew, get away from my car. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, that's my pet peeve.
What are you doing so close to their cars, Sam?
Just getting tips. I'm just walking up to them and sort of, you know, these kids are at ease because they're new drivers. They haven't mm-hmm. seen sort of the horrors that come with driving after years and years like I have, mm-hmm. right? So they're so relaxed, and I'm just trying to get back to that place. So I'm trying to relate to them. Mm-hmm.
But you're spying on them driving, trying to learn?
What? I mean, if sitting in their back seat under a blanket is spying, then yeah, sure, I guess you could say that. But I think I'm observing.
I'd say that is spying.
Okay, well, I guess my pet peeve is invalid then.
No. That's not. We're not passing judgment on pet peeves.
Put that glass down.
Yeah, put it
down. Don't throw a glass.
Oh, okay.
That's another thing we got to talk about, Sam. You getting your temper in check, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because I have a temper.
Yeah. Listen to how you're talking to me right
now,
buddy.
You're right.
Come on now.
You're right.
What about y'all? Todd, you got something?
Have I got something? I think it also goes with... I think it also goes with the students complaining about something I'm doing. Which is unfortunate. You know, I wish they would do something.
Are you saying that all of our things have been things that we do to the students that we have a pet peeve?
No, but I'm with them. I mean, we're the adults.
Yeah, we can do what we want. That's the point of being an adult. The students have to follow along. And so my complaint is a lot of the students, when I presented the play, which... as we have not announced yet, this is kind of a big announcement, but it's going to be a 6-hour drama about my life, kind of in the style of Angels in America, and it's going to be very realistic to what I've experienced with my divorce and my children not speaking to me and the whole hung thing, and the students have kind of said a lot recently, can't we do something fun that other people recognize? And I've kind of said, well, hey, Hamilton had to do Hamilton when nobody knew what Hamilton was, right. Okay?
Everybody knows those people, though, in Hamilton.
I had no idea who most of them were.
Really? None of them?
No, I knew, well, we all knew one of them from the milk commercial, obviously, but beyond that, nobody knew these guys unless you were some sort of AP American History proctor.
And I think this is a good point because you are supposedly a theater official. I mean, you teach theater. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know who these famous guys are, there's a problem.
Absolutely. If in the theater world, there's not been a play written about Alexander Hamilton yet, or those other fellows whose names I can't remember because they're not in the title of the play, mm-hmm. then I'm not going to know who those people are, okay?
Agreed.
And so your pet peeve is the students complaining about having to do your play?
They're complaining about wanting to do that play. Also, it's pretty heavily – the dialogue's pretty heavily written for me. And I think they're
for you?
Yeah, I'll be in the play. It'll be the first teacher-directed and starring performance that our high school has ever done.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this script, and I don't know a ton about theater, but I would characterize it as a one-man show.
Absolutely.
With an audience, an applauding student audience.
Absolutely, that's correct. Well,
on stage with you?
A one-man show is in the title. So, I don't know what the first half is going to be yet, but I know it will be something, a one-man show.
Listen, I've walked past the theater from the outside and heard some of the screams, and it sounds amazing.
Thank you very much. And I think the students are learning a lot. The students are learning a lot from me, and I'm learning a lot about myself as a performer, as an artist, and as a human man.
Now, as a teacher, I think I learn a lot from students. Would you say you're learning anything from them in the process?
I guess I'm learning that kids love to be on their cell phones.
You're just learning that now, Todd? Good grief, son.
Well, yeah, as you guys know, my children, we could not afford cell phones, so they did not have them to be on.
Right, your children are very poor.
That's right. Well, they're cash poor.
They do own a fair amount of land, but you won't give them any money.
No, I won't give them any cash. And if they want to liquidate their land, that's for them to do, okay? That's not my decision.
I saw your daughter meeting with a real estate agent at Starbucks downtown the other day, and she was ill-equipped.
The agent, I hope.
The what?
The agent was ill-equipped?
No, she was ill-equipped.
Oh, well, that's not like a Mary. Oh, I mean, she's 10 years old, for God's sake.
Yeah, I don't think she knows what that land is worth, and I think that real estate agent is, in fact, a con man trying to take her for all she's worth.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, good God, Todd. Oof, well.
Well, I have a pet peeve that is for sure about the students. I am tired. As you guys know, I teach Spanish, and I am so tired of the students raising their hands and saying, "Mr. Cravey, you teach Spanish, but you only know one word in Spanish, and that's baño."
You're tired of that? He's tired of it. Okay.
Why don't you explain to them that
I'd say this. Oh, yeah, that's a good solution. Explain to them the reason, which is that you didn't want to be the Spanish teacher at this school. You wanted to be the basketball coach.
That's exactly right. But as you guys know, I used to coach for NCAA, and I was fired.
Specifically. You kind of just coached whatever team would have you for a minute.
Yeah, you were like an NCAA coach.
Well, yeah. I floated around. But on the final team I was on, which you all know, I was fired for a violent on-court outburst in which I got very angry, and I marched into the cafeteria, which is adjacent to the gym, and I found a full tray of lasagna, and I threw it in one of the referee's faces, and it was hot, and it burned his face, and then I was fired. But I still have that clout, although I am not currently great at coaching basketball. I come with a pretty high salary, so they did have to fire the Spanish teacher, and I had to not coach. I don't coach Spanish. I teach Spanish.
Yeah, you should take my theater class.
I know, right?
But I don't have one about Spanish, so I don't know. What to do. What was that thought process like? Because I think one thing we all have in common is we've all seen red and done something that we've regretted for the rest of our lives. For you, what was that thought process on the walk to the lasagna and the walk back? Because that's not a short march. It's not like a high school campus. You were on the University of Michigan campus.
Yeah, that's premeditated.
Yeah. Well,
you're saying he baked the lasagna?
Well, that's exactly what happened. There was no they don't serve lasagna during a game. I brought in lasagna because I said, if anything goes down with any of these refs,
yeah.
I am throwing a full plate of lasagna in their face.
If anything?
So if anything. They made a single call for the whole game.
Well, now, you know, if they made a call against me.
Right. You know, can I just say something? I think if I'm just listening to us and, you know, mm-hmm. we're all here to be friends and sort of better each other, right?
Right, yeah.
I think we all got a little bit of a problem with anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that's something we could work on.
Yeah, I think we could all, I mean, that's what, theater is very therapeutic for me. I don't know if basketball is therapeutic for you mm-hmm. or politics is therapeutic for you. Or
it's an outlet. It's an outlet. We all have an outlet.
Yeah, yeah, everybody needs an outlet. And for me, this is almost like another outlet since my therapist got a restraining order against me. It's nice to be able to talk about something else to other people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, I think it's time to move on and introduce our guest for today. Really excited today. We're going to have guests on the podcast here and there, and we're really excited today. We have your shop teacher. You are all familiar with him, of course. This is Mr. Klaus Kendall.
Hey, guys, right. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Thanks for being here, Klaus.
No, it's good to be here.
Good to see you.
Good to be away from those kids, right?
You still got on your shop glasses, Klaus.
I never take them off because safety first, last, and always, like the great Barry White sang so long ago.
Yeah.
Is that one of his?
I'm not a big Barry White fan. But it does sound romantic, whatever.
You gotta check out Barry White. This stuff is so good. You know, he's got a real deep voice, and he just sounds like, you know, just like sex all over the place. You know, people mm-hmm. love it. It's great. It puts you in the mood. Huh. We can talk about this stuff, right? Because there's no kids around.
I mean, I think kids can process things much deeper than what we allow for them.
I agree with that.
You know what? I don't like that. No. I wish they wouldn't do that because a lot of times I'm standing up there in class and I'm watching these kids. They're working on a lathe or whatever. They're trying to whittle a goddamn birdhouse, and I just want to talk about grown-up stuff. I want to tell them what it's really like, and part of it is I know they won't understand me. That's why I like it, but I'm not allowed to do it. But you're telling me like this idea they can process stuff we don't know about. I don't like that idea.
I think, have you ever watched any of the films of Wes Anderson?
I've seen two of them.
Okay. Well.
Ocean's 11, right?
No, I think that is.
Ocean's 12.
No, okay, yeah.
Ocean's 13.
Have you seen all three of those, or are you just...
I've seen two of those.
You've seen two of those? Okay.
I saw 11 and 13.
Oh, okay.
I sat out 12.
Yeah.
And was 13, did you understand what was going on, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it's Las Vegas, and they're like, we want money, but we don't like to, you know, get it the regular way, so let's steal it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
Well, here fun. You can talk about your problems, all right? If there's anything that's bothering you, you know, I'd say that this is what the teacher's lounge is mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Teachers getting together and talking about what's on their mind, you know, anything. Yeah. Is there something specific maybe that's been sort of burning on you that you wanted to get off your chest or anything?
You know, a lot of these kids, they don't respect wood, you know. They treat it like it's just like a hunk of something, and it's like that used to be a tree. It was a living, noble thing, and I feel mm-hmm. like trees are like they're like royalty on this earth. You know, they've been around forever, and we got to respect them. And I try to encourage the kids to say a little prayer before they even pick up a piece of wood and say thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you for your service.
I was actually going to ask you if the teachings of the church you started have sort of filtered into your woodworking, the church where you sort of worship nature and things like that.
Yeah, I started a Druid church over on Elm Street. Duh, of course. And it's going great. We're up to like 10 people now, and we just worship nature and Mother Earth Gaia, and we're nude a lot of the time. When we're not nude, we got our cloaks on, you know, and we're constantly doing rituals, and it's great. You know, it's a wonderful feeling of being connected to the planet.
I have seen you in your cloak, and...
Why didn't you say hi?
I feel... I was a little bit taken aback because you guys are nude a lot, and I've heard that.
Yeah.
And I would not even really consider that a cloak. That's a short shirt. So I can... I can still.
But it's brown.
It is brown.
So it's like, you know, it's like cloak colored.
Yeah, it is cloak colored, but it is just a too short shirt. And I could, you know, I could see everything you're working with, Klaus. And I just, I couldn't face you. I couldn't say, hey, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, look. Cloaks are hard to find. Like, the real top-of-the-line ones, mm-hmm. Jesus, they want the sky for these things, right? It's like, I'm on a teacher's salary over here. I can't afford to get, like, fucking Gandalf-level quality. Right. I'm just looking to have a cloak that I could do worship in and, you know, help, you know, add some pomp and circumstance to the rituals and everything. So I'm, like, looking through my closet. I got a brown shirt. Great. Haven't worn it in a while. Turns out it doesn't fit as well as I thought it did.
One of your members was just wearing a vest. One of your old
vests. A brown vest.
So almost the same color brown as you.
Pretty close.
I just think it's great that you're one of those kind of guys who can just sort of make something out of anything. You know, sure, you're mm-hmm. on a teacher's salary, but you work with wood. I mean, your house is gorgeous.
Thank you very much. I built it all myself. I built it from the ground up. The foundation is wood. Yeah. The whole house.
So you put
is
a big
wood.
Piece of wood on the ground
just
and then
a
built.
Big, huge. I made essentially a foundation from scraps that I got at the lumber yard, some stuff from the dump. People throw wood away in their garbage. That's ridiculous.
There was a city council meeting because a lot of your neighbors suggested that maybe that house was, I think they used the word tinderbox, could go up at any time.
And we didn't want another building that could just be on fire all the time and if we don't have to have
trust
it.
Me, if my house burns down, it's not going to be slow. Here's the thing. My favorite wood to work with, and I try to impress this on the kids, is dry wood. I love a nice, dry wood. Wet wood, it's something about it sickens me, you know, to the touch. It
gets
doesn't
a little
feel
slimy.
Right.
Maybe a little slimy.
Slimy,
yeah.
Thanks, man. You know what I'm talking about. It gets slimy. And that's more like animals, which I despise. Like a frog is slimy. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. When it comes to nature, I like the stuff that grows out of the ground. I like the stuff that falls out of the sky. I can't abide an animal. God, I hate them. We have people. Why do we need animals?
Mm-hmm. So, in my mental definition, when I thought of a druid club, a nature-loving, worshiping club, that they were open people that loved everything about Mother Earth.
We're reformed.
Of your reform
truths. Yeah, it's a specific sect that we split off. I mean, there's a lot of, obviously, the main teachings are all there, but there's some stuff we don't agree with, like fucking animals. Who needs them? The Mother Earth provides us with plants to eat, so why do we need dumb cows running around?
And that's the thing that you do. You thank the wood before you eat it, and you curse a steak before you eat it, right?
That's right. I'll still eat a steak to prove a point, and I'll look at that steak and I'll say, you had this coming. I'm glad. I'm not even going to enjoy this, so you died for nothing. And then I chew it. I make noises like to really insult the steak, and then I'll eat, as you say, eat a piece of wood. And I'll say, this will be difficult, but worth it. Thank you, Mother Earth.
Klaus, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Now, is it loud in your classroom?
Sam, let me tell you something. Between the noise of the saws and the prayers, it's deafening in there. Like, you'd think you were on a subway station or something, you know? Or like, nah, that's not a good example. What's a noisy place where there's, like, machine noise but also talking?
I think you had it perfectly with a subway station.
No, I don't know, because people, they don't talk that much when they're waiting for the subway.
Like a construction site.
Construction,
maybe
that's right, because you got the noise of the machines, and then you got the construction guys like, what's in your lunch pail? Let's harass a lady, whatever.
Yeah.
My dad worked construction, and every day he would come home and tell me what was in everyone's lunch pail.
It's a topic of conversation, you know? When you're at work, you want to find out.
And they do get a full consensus from the whole crew before they do harass a lady.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone votes. Well, it's a lady-by-lady basis. You know, they see what they gotta go fast.
Yeah.
Because she's just walking in front of the construction site.
Yeah, usually she's gone before they can get a whole consensus. So when you do see a construction worker harassing a woman, know it is unanimous.
It's special.
And
it's a compliment.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
It really is.
And they should be flattered.
All right, now these are some wood fries you have here.
Yeah, they look like real fries, right?
Yeah, they're in. Like, yeah.
Oh,
ow,
Sam.
It's tough, right?
And wow, what is it? Cedar? Is that?
Yeah.
That's nice.
A lot of times, I would try to make food out of teak, which is a mistake. It's very, very solid. That is a hard wood. Great for furniture. It's not great for lunch.
Yeah,
you
know
what I mean. You brought in that teak masala the other day, right?
I thought like the curry sauces would kind of soften it up a little bit, but no. Dice. That teak is built to last.
So that was intentional. That teak masala was intentional. I thought someone had brought in some bad Indian food.
Mm-hmm. No. You know what? Here's what's a big hit in class. Sometimes I cook for the classes. My balsa base.
Oh, really?
It's like a bouillon base, but with balsa wood. It's very easy to chew.
At least balsa wood is softer. Yeah.
It's nice, soft, delicious wood.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also bring in pine nuts, but they are pine wood whittled into the shape of acorns.
That's right.
Not even the shape of a pine nut.
I'll never eat it.
No.
Yeah, they're pine nuts. They're not pine nuts.
No.
That so would be you're confusing. Saying they're pine and it's nuts that they exist.
Right.
Well, that's another thing. Can you even believe that trees have a self-replicating capability where they grow up to be these big, tall trees? Like, just in case, let me drop a few of these around to make sure that we don't go extinct.
I mean, animals do that, too.
Yeah.
That is true. You know,
I don't like the way they do it, though. I don't like that. I don't like animals.
You prefer kind of a pollination instead of a bee bringing the...
Exact. Teamwork.
You know what?
I got to say.
So if there was a small animal that took semen from one animal...
Go on.
You explained this with penises and vaginas.
What? Well, I don't understand the point.
That's
you're trying
not
to make.
Funny.
Instead,
Klaus, that's not that funny.
See what I mean? See what I mean?
But look at a picture of lungs. Take it. Look at these lungs. Oh, come on! That's hilarious. There's two lobes on the left and there's three on the right. That's uneven.
No, I think. So what's funny to you about lungs is if they're irregular.
Yeah, I think it's really funny when the body's not not symmetrical. When it is asymmetrical.
In that case, then everything is funny because that's the beauty of the human body.
But I do want to get back to
except
this.
Except for Elizabeth Hurley, who's got a perfectly symmetrical face.
That is true.
She's a druid.
Really?
Yeah.
Reform or conservative?
She's conservative. Orthodox. Probably the most famous druid out there.
Wow.
I'd love to. I don't want to put you on the spot, but are there any other famous druids that we'd know about?
There's a few. Josh Molina from Scandal. let's see. David Faustino from Married with Children.
This seems difficult because there are not a lot of druids.
Not a ton.
Whittling it down to druid actors, no pun intended, is an even smaller group.
I thought the pun was whittling it down because I'm the shop teacher.
That was the pun.
Did you intend that one?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
that
I
one
did.
Was intended.
The actors one I did not.
Right.
I put two puns in a sentence, but only one was intended. And the fact of the other one infuriates me because it distracts from the first one.
Sure. Oh, and Kate Middleton.
So one pun.
Oh. She's the last one you thought of?
Yeah. Yeah.
David Faustino came to mind before Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
When you were thinking of famous. Is that because he's more famous to you or just you forgot?
I guess I was a Married with Children fan, and he does a voice on The Legend of Korra. I enjoy that.
Okay. Plus, the first thing you think about her is, you know, who she is. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she's the queen.
Yeah.
Who she is.
Queen to be.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, guys, it's an interesting segue into our next segment.
I thought Kate Middleton was a supermodel.
That's Kate Upton.
That's what I
heard. Oh. Uptown, Middletown. Why, if we had a Kate Downton.
No.
That's very good, Bill.
We don't do comedy professionally.
No. This is just for us here. But yeah, it's an interesting segue into our next segment, where we were going to talk to you a little bit. We have a segment we want to do called the Cafeteria Critic. Klaus.
Yes.
It's a fun little segment we do where we actually went to the cafeteria before we came in to record and we got a full meal.
It is under that little blanket there.
Yep. Yep.
And if you could just
is this a Pendleton?
That's a Pendleton.
It's a really nice blanket.
It's a $320 blanket.
Yeah, nice we needed something to cover up the meal, and I borrowed my wife's Pendleton. And there's going to be a little bit of the food stuck to it when you pull it off.
I wish that was brown. It would make a great cloak.
It would.
Underneath there, you will find a protein, a starch, a fruit or veggie, a beverage, and a dessert, which are all options that are available at the Hamilton High School cafeteria.
Now, so it's a kind of a blind critique. We've painted them all to not be the color that they normally would be, so you don't know what they're going to be.
The shapes are the same.
The shapes are there, and disregard the paint flavor. We really want you to just...
Oh, so it's actual paint.
Yeah. We painted them so you can tell.
So you like me to eat this paint-soaked food?
Sure. I mean, yeah, we want a natural, real
account of it. We made sure there's no...
We tried your fries.
Yeah. We did try your fries.
That's fair.
So we basically want you to just take a bite of each item, let us know what it is, and sort of how you feel about it. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go take a bite of this thing. It looks like it's shaped like a Salisbury steak.
but of course it's green.
It's green. It's like a forest green, which I don't mind.
All right.
Let's take a bite here.
You should never forget the paint.
Okay, I'm trying to forget the paint, but it tastes very strongly of paint.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Oh, that was tough to swallow.
And would you say it was because it was the toughness of the...
Food item?
Consistency-wise, I've had tenderer cuts of meat. Mm-hmm. But in terms of it being drenched in paint, that made it very hard to swallow.
Okay.
Like I felt like every physical impulse was trying to reject this thing.
Yeah.
But I persevered and I got it down.
Okay.
So it's for Salisbury Steak Friday. Klaus Kendall says, go ahead and have that steak. Try not to cover it in paint.
Yeah, I mean... If you're not going to soak it in paint, then it's probably okay. It's probably fine.
And if you see to the right, we have another forest green.
Yeah, these look like little barrels. I'm going to say they're tater tots.
Okay. But they're forest green.
Right. Did you just buy the one can of paint?
Well, paint is more expensive than I had expected when I went to the True Value.
But now what do you do when you paint the flats for the shows, for the drama club?
And I would love your advice on that, because right now...
It's all wood color. Yeah, so the couple of...
Right now it's all wood color with a little bit of crayon on there.
Crayon!
I tried to do the...
Just a little.
A little. Well, it's a lot in the scheme of crayon. I used up a whole 48-pack, but a little in the scheme of my large set.
And that's bummer because it's 48 different colors, so it looks like trash, really.
You just need to sell off that land, okay?
Well, I would love to, but that's my daughter's money, okay? And I can't just take it from her. If she wants to sell it off and give me 10%, I'd love it.
It's a good dad.
Anyway, so yeah, have a bite of those green...
Barrels.
Barrels.
Pop one of these in there. There we go.
Forget the paint.
It's still warm. Trying to forget the paint, but it's...
Now that you picked it up, you can see one side of the actual color of that item. We did not fully paint it.
I wish I'd eaten that one because I got felt like completely doused in the paint.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I can sense a little potato in there, but mostly I'm getting like a real paint aftertaste. Yeah.
Okay. So you are right. Those were tater tots.
Good job.
Good.
Great work on that.
Good. You know, this is fun because I didn't anticipate that this was going to be so secretive as well as, but it's nice little mystery with
each
one of
these.
It's a
fun little mystery, yeah. Anyway, we got three more items for you to taste.
We could have just easily, I have a blindfold on my head. Yeah. We could have just easily...
I thought it was a bandage, honestly.
Well, no, it's a blindfold. I thought it was a bandage. I got sand. As you can see, the whites of my eyes are red. I got a bunch of sand and water in my eye down in New Smyrna. So when I go out in the sun...
Did you just get back?
Yes.
Like, did you come from New Smyrna directly to this recording?
I came straight here. Yeah. Well, I mean, I stopped. I was in the hospital for 2 days, but I came straight from the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have used this. So next time we'll just blindfold people.
Yeah, we'll see. This seems to be working.
All right. Let's see. These long skinny things. They look like green beans,
but they are
a slightly
green,
different green.
Yeah.
Convenient
than green beans. Mm-hmm. All right. Eat one of these.
Forget the pink.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, somebody doesn't like these long things.
Someone's a little picky.
I feel like the it's kind of like a cumulative effect of the paint that I've eaten so far.
Oh, no, Klaus.
Green beans have never been my favorite to begin with, so this didn't make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I gotta say, strong bass note of paint, as well as a top note and a through line.
So you are right about the green beans.
Yes.
That's what those were.
Got those. Good, good.
Good job.
I think the student takeaway from that is if you like green beans, great. But if, like Mr. Kendall, you do not, avoid them.
Mm-hmm. I will say I did have all of this food for lunch, and I loved all of it. I will say, no paint, of course.
Right.
I was going to go to the drive-thru, and as soon as I got to my car, I remembered I couldn't go to one. And so I walked right back inside.
But your car is here at school.
Yeah, I got a car at home and a car at school.
Yeah, I had a car. Do you have cars pretty much everywhere you go regularly? Because I have seen you try to get into a car at the gym.
Yes, absolutely. Listen. I come from money. You all know that. I don't like to talk about it.
Right.
But the problem is everyone thinks they're a driver. You know, it's a normal part of life. You think, oh, I'll just hop in my car. I'll go. So you keep going, well, I need a car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then when you show up somewhere, you go, oh, my God, I drove here illegally. I can never do this again.
Right,
and
right.
There it sits.
Nice.
So you're often buying and abandoning cars.
I'm buying, not selling, and abandoning cars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Until you go back to them when you're at that location.
Hey, listen, I still got the title for all these babies, okay? So as they appreciate with the dust, you know, I'll be able to sell them.
Well, I think the dust makes them worth less.
Yeah, I don't think that adds to the value of... They say that as soon as you drive a new car off the lot, it starts depreciating in value.
Yeah, car is right. By far the worst investment, by far.
Well, especially for you.
Until you wait long enough, and then it becomes a classic. I got a 98 Kia Rio, baby, that I am just waiting for history to come back.
But that's what the one at the gym, and it was pretty severely wrecked on the way to the gym, whatever the first time you drove there was.
Yeah. I plowed right into the pylon in front of the parking thing.
Yes. Oh. It's immobile.
History?
If you have room for some costumes and a little bed in any of those cars, and I can't stay on this futon for any reason, I'd love to sleep in one.
Absolutely. You got it.
Do you ever sit in the car even though you can't drive it? Do you ever just sit in there? Listen,
you know,
to the radio?
I used to, but it just hurts too much.
Sure.
It hurts too much to
so
be
close.
In there. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Klaus, you got one more...
You got a beverage there you got to drink.
Oh, yeah. Now, this also seems to be forest green.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now, this beverage isn't typically served at lunch.
Well, it's forest green now. I mean, take off the lid. Take off the lid and
take
see what it looks
lid.
Like inside.
Okay,
all
right. Take this flathead screwdriver and just go ahead and take that lid off.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have to kind of go around all edges. It's a little bit stuck together with some paint.
This? Okay. It's an unusual but familiar lid. It's a very wide mouth container.
Right.
I think I'm going to have to both hands this.
Mm-hmm. It has a little wire handle there, too, if you want to.
Smells very strongly of paint.
Huh.
Okay, he's taking a sip. It's like it's a big coffee cup. He's warm.
Oh, yeah, like you see. Like,
you look like a little kid right now with a big cup in his hand.
I was thinking like, you know, those print ads where they show a lady, you know, looking out a window and she's holding the coffee
he
with
both
like hands.
You love some Folgers right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my
all right, here
bad.
We go. Just take a sip.
Oh, oh, big gulp.
Oh.
No hints.
No hints.
I wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, you got a little blank mustache up there.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow. This one really tastes like paint. like what I imagine paint would taste like, I guess. I've never, not in the habit of drinking paint, but you put too much paint in this one.
That's too much paint, you say?
Yeah.
Too much paint. Well, let me ask you this question before we reveal what this is.
Sure.
Is it something that you would be happy or upset to have added to the fountains in our lunchroom?
Or to the outside of your home?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that would be a liquid that would be used in a fountain, but also not applied. Typically. Not typically.
Atypically.
Okay, atypically. But also I could apply it to the exterior of my home.
Yeah, to
atypically
wash it.
That's also atypical. For me or for everyone?
For my theater sets.
I think I know.
You could almost paint your house with it.
Is it kale smoothie?
No, I'm sorry.
Gosh, you were almost 4 for 4 there.
What was
too
it?
Bad.
What was it?
It was Gilgen brand paint.
It was just paint.
Forest green paint.
Yes.
What happened was, I, on the way here, mixed up the paint and the Mountain Dew.
Both green.
What was supposed to be Mountain Dew. Ended up drinking the whole Mountain Dew by accident and brought you the paint.
You intended to drink the paint.
Yes, I had meant to drink the paint.
So you...
I had meant to drink the paint. Instead, I got that disgusting Mountain Dew.
Todd, I gotta ask you, is the reason that none of the flats and sets are painted is because you're drinking the paint?
Now is as good as time to any to admit that I am addicted to drinking paint. I vowed as a child that I would never be an alcoholic like my brother.
How old were you when you made this vow?
How old was I?
Yeah, you said as a child you vowed to never be an alcoholic.
Wasn't my first words.
So not that young.
Not that young. But it wasn't like my valedictorian speech either.
Sometime between birth and high school graduation.
Exactly.
Sometime between 0 and 18.
I would say 13
important
years,
kids. Important years. Well, 0 to 18.
Yeah, they are. Cherish
it. Well, are you? I mean, your belly looks distended.
Did you almost say thank you?
I almost said thank you, and then I analyzed the definition of distended in my head.
Do you know what it means now?
Well, looking at my belly, I think it's an insult, whatever it is. I think it's bad.
Well, statement of fact. You know.
Does distended mean severely sucked in?
Well,
because that's what I meant it as.
I don't know the answer.
That's what I meant it as. Your belly looks severely sucked in.
You know, I don't know that there's a blanket term for that. Severely sucked in.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever had to classify something as severely sucked in, so there may not be a word for it.
Maybe German people have a word for it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, guys. Well, I'll tell you this. This has been a fun time on this episode of the Teacher's Lounge, you guys. Klaus, we'd really love to thank you for coming on and taking part in that fun little segment we did there.
You guys made me drink paint.
We're sorry.
We're sorry for that. And any future guests, just know that we treat our guests with respect.
Yeah, this is never going to happen again.
I mean, you know, there's food coloring. Why? You could have just colored the food. It's literally called food coloring.
I don't care for the flavor.
Yeah. Anyway, just one quick announcement before we get out of here, guys. You all need to know that prom tickets are going on sale soon.
Yes.
Friday at noon at lunch, you can all grab your prom tickets from Miss Holloway in her classroom. The prom
Everybody
committee.
Go to Miss Holloway's classroom at lunch to get your prom tickets.
Right. She's got
all 2,000 kids need to go get your prom tickets from Miss Holloway. She's the only place you can get them.
They could run out, so really storm that classroom.
And if you miss the period, her home phone number is 679-382-1487.
Perfect.
Yeah, and she has a very small house, so she will be able to accommodate. But
feel free to, wait outside. Wait in her yard.
We shouldn't give out a teacher's phone number, so let's go ahead and bleep the name when we give that out, just so people don't know that they're calling Miss Holloway.
Good.
And, Klaus, anything going on in the shop class that you want to plug?
Yeah, we're building a church.
We, the kids, are involved?
Yeah. I mean, they don't know what they're building, but soon all will see.
And you have asked anyone to donate any brown clothing they have, correct?
Please, if you have anything, I made a mistake by, you know, I got all excited about these Untuckit shirts, you know? I saw the guy's commercial, he's like, we got scientists working on this day and night, and we finally invented a blouse. And I was like, that's for me! That's before I converted. And I didn't realize, oh, I need a cloak. So if anyone has anything, any kind of clothing that goes past the thighs, please, I beg of you, drop it off.
Brown robe. These are typical robes.
Anything, even a longer shirt. Yeah. I mean, that would be fine.
I've got a long Tasmanian devil t-shirt. He's brown, but the rest of the shirt is kind of a blue and white, very bright. What do you think about that?
Ooh, is there any leftover paint?
Yeah, I mean, if you could keep me from drinking it.
You look down at your messenger bag when he asks if there was any leftover paint.
Yes, I care. I don't know. I keep my paint in this messenger bag so that I can drink out of it.
Look at so many samples.
Yes.
You're also... That bag has a lot of pockets. You really got a lot going on in there.
Yeah, well, I love pencils.
All right, guys. That's it for the first episode of the Teacher's Lounge. Tune in next time where we will continue to sort of air our dirty laundry as we sort of started to do today.
Well, I do have some of my dirty laundry over there on that couch, and it is airing out, and it does stink in here.
All right, guys. I got to get to my fifth period class.
So. All right, me too.
Yep. Stay flippy.
Stay flippy.
Stay flippy, y'all.
That ain't going to be our catchphrase.
No, I like stay flippy.
This is Tony Rodriguez.
This is Carlos Santos.
This is Raisa Licea.
And this is Oscar Montoya.
When our powers combine, we are
Spanish Aquí Presents.
We have a brand new podcast here on Earwolf, bringing you the best of the best of lo mejor of the Latinx comedy.
Join us every Tuesday as we chat about what's going on in our lives, Latinx culture, and qué es lo que?
Lo que nos está picando.
Lo que te pica. Don't worry, we'll tell you what that means if you listen.
We'll also be joined by a new guest every single week. We'll get to know a little bit more about their lives.
Every single week.
Uh-huh. And then we'll make them sit back and watch us improvise their lives right back to them.
Improvisation. Spanish Aquí Presents premieres July 16th. Subscribe now in Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you listen.
O donde sea.
Spanish Aquí Presents.